Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week we witnessed Jesus coming to John in the Jordan to be baptized. And we noted the awe of the moment. And immediately when Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." With this revelation, John's ministry is nearing its end. But John could not be more joyful. This was the reason he was sent to baptize with water, after all, that the Lord's anointed, his Christ, his Messiah, would be revealed. And though he bore witness in the baptism, John never tires of bearing witness to the Son of God. Later, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold," that is, don't use your eyes to see, but use your ears to hear and believe what I tell you. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John spent his whole ministry preparing people to meet the Lord. And now he stands in their very midst. And John continues to delight in pointing to him. And again the next day, when Jesus was passing by John and two of his disciples, John says once more, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This man is the fulfillment of all God's promises that he made through the prophets of old. He'd be the crusher of the serpent's head, the lamb promised to Abraham, the star of Jacob, the branch of Jesse, the son of David, Yahweh's own servant. And so when John fingers him, they leave their teacher and follow. And as they follow, Jesus takes notice. He turns and says to them, "What are you seeking?" What a significant question that is. What are you seeking? What are you looking for when you follow him? Often people follow Jesus for a bit and then get bored or disappointed by him and leave. In fact, it's a major theme of John's gospel. Over and over we see people coming only to discover that he isn't what they wanted or expected and turn around to leave. If you're seeking the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, well, then you've come to the right spot. But if you're seeking a fix for whatever you think ails you in this life, he's going to be a bit of a disappointment and a letdown. So best be honest with himself and with you when he asks, "What are you seeking?" Their answer, that is, Andrew's and the other disciples, their answer is interesting. They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" By calling him Rabbi, they showed what they wanted. They wanted to be with him and wanted to hear what he had to say. And so, "Where are you staying?" implies, "Because we want to be with you and learn from you there." One church father, St. John Chrysostom, thought the implications to their answer were profound. He said, "Let us then also learn from now on to consider everything secondary to the importance of hearing the word of God. Let food and baths and dinners and all the other things of this world have their appointed time. But when it comes to teaching of heavenly wisdom, let every time be the right time." And yet, how often do we portion our time for trifles and unprofitable, silly talking? And we sit together idly during the morning and afternoon, midday and evening besides, and we have appointed places for this. But hearing the divine doctrines two or three times in the week, we become sick and overstuffed. Ouch! And he hadn't even heard of Facebook. All Andrew and the other disciple wanted to do was to be with Jesus, to hear him teach, to spend time in his presence. And Jesus responds, come, and you will see. Here we come upon a profound truth. The Christian faith isn't formed in us by merely reading this or that great book or studying hard some theological text. The Christian faith is literally formed in us in the time that we spend with Jesus. It was clear to Andrew and the other disciple just how to do that. They asked him, where do you abide? And at his invitation, come and you will see, they just went and saw where he was abiding, and there they listened to him. But that's not just for a long time ago in a land far away. John later records the promise of Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. If you want to be with Jesus, to hear him, to spend time in his presence, then you need to spend time in his words, in the witness that John and the others bore and wrote down for you. Just as Christ was present for those first disciples in that abode, he stands ready to meet you always in his word. His invitation to you is even the same. Come and you will see. Go, dwell in the word with him and your eyes will be opened. He enlightens us through his word and rids us of any off-base notion we might have about him. Martin Luther wrote, he did not initiate his kingdom with violence, with blustering, with open assault in the fashion of some mighty emperor. But he was friendly and mingled cordially with the people. He received all who came to him, chatted with them, excluded no one from his company. That is the way that he welcomed Andrew and the other disciple. And they stayed with him. And having spent time with Jesus, and after hearing his words, they believed. Andrew's joy at the time with Jesus was so great that there is no way he was able to keep it to himself. Chrysostom says, Andrew, after having tarried with Jesus and learned what he did not keep the treasure to himself, but hastens and runs quickly to his brother to impart to him the good things that he had received. Isn't that wonderful? He runs to Simon crying out, at last, he's here, the Messiah, we found him. Maybe Simon believed in that moment and maybe he just wanted to check out Jesus for himself. However it happened, Andrew brought him to Jesus. You see, Andrew was able to bring him to Jesus because Andrew knew just where Jesus would be. For he himself had been there. That is how he led his brother to that place where his brother would be convinced, not by Andrew, but by Jesus himself. That too is where we must bring others to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We must be in his presence. We must be in his word, not just one or two or even 3 days of the week, but every single day. And that too is where we must take others. For it is not our words that will lead others to believe, but the words of Jesus himself. What is not in our text, but immediately follows, is that Jesus looked at Simon when he arrived and said, you are Simon, son of John, you shall be called Peter. Later, this is the very name Jesus gives to him when later he confesses, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answers him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The rock of the church is not Peter in his person, but in his confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Behold, this is not a message that can be seen with eyes, but it must be heard with the ears and believed. Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when we believe in Him, we too, like Peter, are given a new name, a wonderful name. We are called by Christ's own name. We are Christians, sons of God, friends of the Lord, His very own body. So dwell with Jesus in His own word, in the testimony concerning Him. And the more your joy and awe will grow. And then bring others to His word, into His very presence, that together we might be saved through Him. That with John and Andrew and with the psalmist we might say, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.